Good evening and welcome to the May 14th meeting of the Kitsap County Planning Commission. We will begin with, as we always do, with introductions. My name is Kim Allen. I am from South Kitsap.
Tom Nevins, North Kitsap.
Good evening. Rick Shattuck from Central Kitsap.
Jim Swenson, South Kitsap.
Mike Eliason, Central Kitsap.
And we have... I don't know if Aaron has checked in today, but I know Gina will not be able to join us this evening. So we have two commissioners absent, but we do have a quorum. We are, in light of the fact that folks have come out for a public hearing tonight, we want to reorder the agenda a little bit to make sure that we can address their convenience first and move the public hearing, which is currently agenda item D, or I'm sorry, E, up to D. And then we will take item D, which is the briefing, and put that after the work study on timber harvest code update. So we'll kind of reposition the agenda a little bit, and if we could have a motion to adopt the agenda as revised.
I move we adopt the agenda as amended.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
All those opposed? And it passes unanimously. Moving on to item C, which is approval of the minutes. We do not have yet the minutes for the April 16th meeting, so we're going to postpone approval of those minutes to the next meeting. But we will entertain a motion for approval of the minutes from the March 19th, 2019 meeting.
I'll move for approval.
A second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion, changes, corrections, or edits? Okay. All those in favor, raise your hand. All those opposed? All those abstaining? All right. We have one abstention, and the rest are approved. All right. That's item C. Now, moving on to item D, we will be having a public hearing, and we will ask Liz Williams, who is our staff member on this item, for the high-risk secured facilities ordinance to come forward and tee us up for the public hearing.
Sounds good. Thank you. So good evening. For the record, my name is Liz Williams, and I'm a planner with the Department of Community Development. Prior to the public hearing, there are a few updates that we wanted to review with the Planning Commission since your work study session on April 16th. Can you hear me okay? Okay.
Yeah.
The department has, since that work study session, the department has now met with the City of Bremerton, Port Orchard, and Poulsbo to ensure to the greatest extent possible that consistent and compatible zoning requirements are considered or adopted. On April 9th, the City of Port Orchard adopted interim regulations for secured high-risk social service facilities. On April 17th, the City of Poulsbo adopted interim regulations for high-risk secured facilities. And the City of Bremerton is proposing an amendment to their municipal code that would restrict high-risk secured facilities within 880 feet of an existing residential property. And in comparison of interim regulations adopted to date by local jurisdiction is provided in attachment F of your staff report. The department has also considered three additional alternatives that are outlined in section 3 on page 7 of the staff report. The three alternatives considered would further restrict siting of facilities within certain distances of an existing residential facility. The department does not recommend approval of the additional alternatives considered because they may not be fully compliant with state law, and they greatly reduce the potential locations a facility may be proposed within unincorporated Kitsap County. Finally, the department prepared and submitted the required State Environmental Policy Act checklist, or SEPA checklist. The Kitsap County SEPA official reviewed that checklist prepared for this amendment and issued a SEPA determination of non-significance. Those are also included in your staff report in attachments G1 and G2. So ahead of the public hearing tonight, the department has prepared a brief presentation that will summarize the amendment and where facilities may be proposed in unincorporated Kitsap County, an outline of the process moving forward and opportunities for the public to participate and stay informed, an overview of the county's limitations under state law, and a few helpful guidelines for those that wish to provide public testimony this evening. So after the presentation, the department will turn it back to the Planning Commission to hold the public hearing. The department recommends that the Planning Commission open the hearing and accept public testimony. And then once public testimony has concluded, the department recommends the Planning Commission close the public hearing. Online public comment is being accepted until midnight this evening. So we are not recommending beginning deliberations this evening, but we have scheduled two additional meetings related to this topic for deliberations and tentative recommendation on May 21st, so next Tuesday, and then adoption of findings of fact on June 4th. So with that, I'll move into the presentation for those that are here tonight for this item so they understand exactly what is proposed, and then go into those helpful guidelines for those that wish to testify. So a high-risk secured facility houses two or more civilly committed sexually violent predators or persons that pose a likelihood of serious harm to others. These individuals have completed their criminal sentence and have petitioned a superior court to be conditionally released from a state-operated facility to a community-based facility to receive ongoing treatment and supervision. The proposed amendment defines these facilities in Kitsap County Code. The amendment also identifies specific neighborhood compatibility and safety requirements, such as requiring an automatic fire sprinkler system and backup power in case of a power outage. The amendment also requires Kitsap County to mail notification to the school district and landowners within a half mile of a proposed facility, which is consistent with the Sheriff's Office notification standards. It also requires Kitsap County to hold a public meeting before processing a permit application and hold a public hearing during the permit review process. The ordinance currently allows this use to be proposed within commercial and industrial zones listed on the slide above. These zones are in urban areas and provide a higher level of service, such as access to police, fire, and emergency management services. The ordinance also establishes additional siting requirements allowed under state law. So a facility cannot be located within 880 feet of a public and private school. In addition, a facility cannot be located adjacent to, across the street from, or within the line of sight of a risk potential activity and facility which are listed on the slide above. So moving forward, the board has 6 months under state law to adopt a final ordinance unless a work plan is approved. Tonight, the Planning Commission will hold the second public hearing on this topic and is, as I mentioned, tentatively scheduled to make a recommendation to the department by early June. The board is tentatively scheduled to review the draft final ordinance in May and hold a third public hearing on June 24th and take action on the final ordinance in July ahead of that August 6th deadline. So the public is encouraged to stay involved throughout this process by visiting the Kitsap County Code Update website, which is listed up on the screen, or by subscribing to the county's Gov Delivery electronic notification system by selecting the Kitsap County Code Update announcement list, or by contacting the Department of Community Development. So as the Planning Commission reviews the proposed code amendment and receives public testimony tonight, there are certain limitations under state law that Kitsap County can and cannot regulate. For example, Kitsap County cannot regulate facility operations, such as the number of staff training requirements, or outings in the community. However, Kitsap County can regulate neighborhood compatibility and safety, which includes who receives notification, the zones where facilities can be proposed, and building safety requirements. The department has provided some helpful guidelines for those that wish to speak at tonight's hearing. Please limit your comment to no more than 3 minutes. State your name for the record and clearly indicate whether you support or oppose the proposed amendment. It is also helpful to identify your specific concerns and then suggest some ideas. So for example, if you do not feel one of the proposed zones should be allowed for these facilities, please indicate which ones you disagree with and why. And then if you have materials that you would like the Planning Commission to consider, please hand those to the clerk, so Amanda over here, and she will make sure that they are included in the record and get to the Planning Commission. So with that, I will turn it back to the Planning Commission to open the public hearing.
Thank you, Liz.
You're welcome.
All right, so before we begin, does anyone have any questions of staff here before we open the public hearing? Okay, one of the things I did want to let the members of the public know is that when you hand your exhibits to the clerk, they become part of the record and you can't have them back. And so, make sure that you have a copy for yourself if you want to submit something into the record, because that will become a part of the permanent record for these proceedings. All right, so we will limit the time to 3 minutes per speaker. And with that, I will open the public hearing on the high-risk securities facilities ordinance. I have only one individual signed up to testify here. That would be David Grellier. Please come to the podium. Please state your name and spell your last name for the record.
My name is David Grellier, G-R-E-L-L-I-E-R. I'm a retired architect and planning consultant. I've worked in Kitsap County for over 40 years.
Mr. Gellier, can you move the microphone over just a little bit so it's a little closer to your mouth?
I'm not shouting loud enough.
Perfect.
Right?
Thank you.
Okay. I've worked with the county on both sides of the fence and have had good experiences all along. I do get a sense from the published materials that the county is in themselves struggling somewhat with this ordinance and the introduction of these very sensitive facilities. So I feel your pain. I also happen to live fairly near a piece of property that is commercial, which is impacted by this proposal. So I have a personal interest, and that's probably what's dragged me along to testify, something I haven't done for a while. I noticed that certain things are limited by law, which concerns me. This is unfortunately a response one often gets, oh, we can't do that because of the law. I would encourage the county to be creative with the law and see how the law can be used and manipulated, twisted, bent, whatever, to come up with a good solution to this problem. I am concerned, like many people, about the location adjacent to residential properties and the fact that they are not protected in the list of protected areas. And I know this is the law, and that's where we've got to be creative. And I hope that enough consideration has been given to not just the emotional impacts, but the economic impacts. What's this going to do to the value of my house? A very important thing, and I didn't see it addressed anywhere. Talking about the Wheaton Way corridor, which is where I happen to live, the property along there, a lot of it was zoned multifamily residential along the Wheaton Way itself, and residences were built behind those multifamily areas. Time went by, this became zoned as commercial, high-density commercial, which was not terribly encouraging, but something that we kind of lived with. Now this additional use has been somewhat sneakily, if you like, inserted. I'm not saying the county's being sneaky, but it's been inserted into a commercial zone. And I don't know that that is really the right way to play the game. We're talking about commercial development, and suddenly a high security or high risk facility is inserted in that, which doesn't seem to be compatible to my way of thinking. And I want to make sure that we're approaching this application process in the right way. As it stands, basically someone can apply, and if we have a neighborhood or a group that wants to contest it, then they are obliged. Is that my 3 minutes?
You can have a moment to summarize.
Okay. We're obliged to stand up and say why it can't be done. And I think that's the wrong way around. Whoever is proposing this should make it very clear why they think it can be done and why it is not creating adverse impacts. The city of Bremerton are imposing an 880-foot limit. The county has said they feel that this will restrict the areas where such development is possible. And I think that would be excellent. And I think that is the correct approach. And I know the county have some concerns about that, but that restricting these areas that are available is important. And I'm wondering if there cannot be some sort of, rather than just blanketly dump these facilities into any commercial ordinance and commercial zone. Sorry, I'm not as good as I used to be at this kind of thing.
Mr. Grellier, whether, in conclusion?
Yeah, in conclusion, couldn't we have an overlay ordinance which defines more specifically where these areas are possible? Not just anywhere, but where it makes sense to put them. Rather than put it in the commercial zoning, have an overlay that says, okay, here, here, and here, it's okay. And it's not going to upset people. Okay.
Thank you very much. All right. Mr. Grellier was the only one I had signed up to testify. Does anybody else wish to be heard on this? Anyone else wish to be heard on the record for this? I'll ask a third time. Is there anyone else that wishes to be heard on this matter? All right. With that, I will close the testimonial portion of the record. The written record and the electronic record is open until midnight today. To honor that and the information that may come in between now and midnight, we are not going to deliberate on these. We will hold our deliberations until the next meeting. So thank you, everyone, for coming out. And, Mr. Grellier, thank you for your testimony.
If I could add, too, I think the staff did a very good job with the summary matrix that they give us with all the written testimony, and I take the time to go through that and read the summaries and the actual written documents. So to those of you that have submitted written testimony, rest assured, we do read it. It is extensive, but it's helpful.
Yeah, I'm glad to have the opportunity to sit down and really thoughtfully digest all of that. Thank you. All right. Well, then with that, we will move on to our work study on the Timber Harvest Code update. We have Scott Diener coming forward.
We'd like to have just a quick adjournment so we can set up a table. We were expecting
Absolutely.
A third person to arrive, but we will get started without her if need be.
Do you want to switch the other briefing or are we good?
Are you okay with that?
Okay. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
We're expecting somebody from DNR.
All right. Okay. Well, we can move to the other agenda item, our 2019 Comprehensive Plan Amendment Final Docket. We have someone who is not Peter Best coming forward.
I am not Peter Best, but I share his barber. So thank you, commissioners. My name is Dave Ward with the Department of Community Development. Sitting in for Peter Best, who normally would be giving you this update on the comprehensive plan amendment process. Just when you thought it was over from last year, it's come back again. Let's see, you have briefing materials, which include a copy of the resolution from the board, which was passed on April 24th, 2019, and was affirmed last night at its regular meeting, where the board passed a resolution adopting the final docket for the 2019 Comprehensive Plan Amendment process. Also in your packet, there is a schedule that shows both the comprehensive plan amendment process itself and a separate calendar for items that may be deferred should they require an environmental impact statement. This is just to let you know what's coming since the board has passed its final docket. This item will land in front of you substantively after July, and when we will go through our standard process through the Planning Commission and then hearing and then on to the board and then the board hearing and then on to final adoption. The docket this year, just to rewind a little bit, the process started in December of 2018. The department and the board conducted a public participation process, which culminated in the adoption of an initial docket on December 19, 2018. The department then took that initial docket, went back to work, did further analysis over the past several months, and then came back to the board with recommendations for the final docket recommendation. The final docket recommendation, which will be coming to the Planning Commission, contains one site-specific application and a half a dozen county-sponsored amendments. So the site-specific application was one that was carried forward from last year. I suspect you'll remember this. This was a comprehensive plan amendment application 18-00495. Which came in from Port Orchard Sand and Gravel and Dickey Wood LLC. This was the proposal for development of a former quarry site in the Silverdale area. So this was carried forward. It was deferred last year and is carrying forward now into 2019. The county-sponsored amendments, there are six of those, and I'll just give you the quick rundown on these. And these are also listed in the table on page 2 of your materials for today. Number one is clarifying edits, which is one that we are inserting in every year. And this is basically just clarifying edits to improve clarity and consistency of the comprehensive plan. These are non-substantial edits, mostly done for clarity and housekeeping matters. We also have updates to the public facility designations and park classifications. Again, this is one that we are inserting every year. This is a housekeeping item, basically inserted into the docket to take care of map updates and things like that. So it's housekeeping. The mineral resource overlay zone cleanup is a substantive proposal. This amendment is intended to remove parcels that have the mineral resource overlay where those parcels have been developed with either residential or commercial uses and therefore are unlikely to ever be developed for mineral resource uses. This is kind of a cleanup activity that came to light with all the discussion of the mineral resource issues that we had in last year's docket. So now we're doing a little bit of housekeeping cleaning on that. The fourth item is initial centers designation for unincorporated Kitsap County, consistent with the regional centers framework from the Puget Sound Regional Council. The regional centers framework was recently updated, so that produced the need for a couple of amendments to our comprehensive plan to remain consistent. So those initial centers designations will be written into the comprehensive plan, and then for future planning, the center boundaries and policies will then be developed through sub-area planning. Likewise, also coming out of that update of the centers framework is clarification of policy regarding the future incorporation status of the Kingston Urban Growth Area and the future annexation or incorporation of the Central Kitsap Urban Growth Area. This is not unlike where we already state in the comprehensive plan that the Silverdale area will be subject to future annexation or incorporation. This is identifying those other two areas as well. The sixth item is one that we will actually be coming to you all in a little bit earlier in late June or July for your input. And this is a review and update of the process for amending the Kitsap County Comprehensive Plan and the code that guides this process. The department's intent here is to streamline the process, improve some efficiency in the process, hopefully shorten the timeline. Right now it's about a 14-month process, and so we want to try to shorten that. And then we're also hoping that through this process we'll also be able to calendar activities out a little bit better, so that way we can improve transparency and predictability of when we will be picking up certain items for comprehensive plan amendments as years go by in that 8-year comprehensive plan cycle. So our intent is we want to make it more predictable both for the department and for the commissioners and for you and for the public. There were several items that were on the initial docket that were pulled off of the initial docket. A couple of those that I'd like to highlight for you are we originally had capital facilities plan updates on the initial docket. We are still proceeding with those. Those were for law enforcement, schools, and parks. However, we will be moving those forward as part of the budget process and not as part of the comprehensive plan amendment process. And county code and state law allows us to do that. And that was mostly just for the expediency of the process. We also had one that we were considering an area-wide review of a portion of the Port Orchard urban growth area. We still may approach that in the future. However, right now the immediate need for that is no longer there, so we are deferring that. The board agreed to defer that action. Likewise, we had considered an area-wide review of the Manchester area. We are deferring that action as well. And we also provided an opportunity for site-specific applications to remove the mineral resources overlay from mining sites that are now shut down and are no longer being mined. We received no applications for that, so we've pulled that from the initial docket, and it does not appear in the final docket. Are there any questions?
Mr. Shatter.
I'm sorry, Dave, I've got several questions. First, with regards to the Puget or Port Orchard regional review, as I recall, we had a site-specific amendment involving Hanley Roofing, and
right.
One of the things that were passed on that was an area-wide review to see whether that was appropriate or not. Where is that? Is that off the table now for this next term?
Right now, the settlement of that, if that enforcement issue is done separately from, it was determined separately from the area-wide review. So the need for the area-wide review for that particular issue is no longer necessary.
So the matter has been settled. Is that?
I don't know if I would describe it as settled.
Okay.
How would you describe it? In process. Okay. But it's basically been decoupled from the area-wide review. We don't disagree that the area is ripe for an area-wide review. However, we just due to workload issues, we want to tap the brakes on that and defer that to the future.
Others, keep going.
when I see that word annexation, we're dealing with the Central Kitsap UGA, it always raises an alarm. Do we have moves by Bremerton to annex the Central Kitsap UGA?
There are no immediate plans for Central Kitsap or Kingston. This is basically stating what is implied in the Growth Management Act already, but just stating it outright in the comprehensive plan. And that's in response to some changes that were done at the Puget Sound Regional Council and as part of their regional, their centrist framework.
Follow up on that, I assume there's an intent to engage the Central Kitsap Community Council in reviewing the Central Kitsap UGA.
That would be part of the public process, yes.
Okay. Finally, I see in our time frame we've got a little loop that's available for a DS in case that's done. Has there been a DS issued either for the site specific or for anything else?
Not at this time, not yet. We haven't made that determination. It's not that there's no DS.
Thank you. Other questions? Thank you, Mr. Ward.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Mr. Diener, do you still need a break to set up?
Yes, just a few minutes, please.
Okay, then we'll go off the record for 5 minutes.